Welcome back to Now Showing. I'm Patty Holly. The St. Joseph Symphony will be closing its season with a major performance this weekend. I talked with the music director of the St. Joseph Symphony, Rico McNeela, earlier this week. He says this weekend's concert will be one to remember.
This concert is a collection of two works, a short overture entitled Egmont, which is the overture that Beethoven wrote to a play by Goethe, and it is brilliant and powerful and heroic. Goethe was a figure that was the leader of a movement against Spanish domination of the Netherlands, and he was hanged, I believe. But the play describes him as a very, very heroic figure, and this music reflects that quality beautifully. And, of course, the major work on the program is the Ninth Symphony, and this is spectacular symphony, his last symphony, written in 1824 to the music of, the poetry of Friedrich Schiller and his An die Freude, which is this ode to joy, magnificent poem describing equality and brotherhood and love among men and the search for joy in life. It should be a spectacular program, all Beethoven and these two magnificent works.
And it's my understanding that the St. Joseph Community Chorus will be joining you for that Symphony No. 9?
Yes, the St. Joseph Community Chorus, directed by David Benz, as well as the William Jewell Chorus, directed by Tony Maglioni, are going to be singing with us. And we have four spectacular soloists, Raymond Feener, from UMKC, is going to be our bass baritone solo. Susan Carter, our soprano from Missouri Western. Ben Gully and Christy Haney, both apprentices at the Kansas City Lyric Opera. So it's going to be an all-star cast, I think.
Do you know how many vocalists there will be?
Yes, we will have about 120 singers.
Now that is a large group, the symphony plus the two choruses. How does someone like you manage that?
Well, I've been doing a lot of driving. I've been to St. Jule twice to conduct their choir. I've conducted rehearsals of the St. Joseph's Community Chorus, and I rely heavily upon those directors to get the choirs ready for the performance as well. So my involvement is to show them what I have in mind, and their directors are training them, and the soloists are working on their own, and we'll all come together this Wednesday night for our first rehearsal, and we'll rehearse again on Friday, and we will hopefully be ready to go Saturday night.
Why did you choose to do such a large piece for the closing concert?
Well, you know, this piece hasn't been done here in a very long time. The last time Beethoven's Ninth was performed in St. Joseph was 1990, and it was conducted by Deborah Freeman, performed at the Field House at Missouri Western with five different choirs. You think we have a lot of singers. I don't know the number that they had at the time, but it must have been big. But it's a work that I think many, many people know. It is one of, well, it's hard to argue. I think you'd find many people saying this is the greatest work of music that has ever been written. It is certainly among the greatest, and it is just a thrilling and exciting work. It's one of the most optimistic pieces of music I know, and it certainly deserves to be heard again here in St. Joseph.
How did you choose the William Jewell Chorus to join you in the St. Joseph Community Chorus?
I had heard a lot about them, and I wanted to get to know them and their director better. And Tony, it so happens Tony Maglioni is new there this year, and he was looking around for ways of getting his choir out into the area, and it just happened to be a pleasant coincidence. I called him and asked him if he were interested, and he said, yeah, I'd love to. And as it works out, the Liberty Symphony is performing the same work the week after, so they were going to be gearing up to play it or to sing it anyway, so it was just a bit of good luck.
The location of this is not at the Missouri Theater or even at a theater. Can you tell me what the decision was behind going to the Cathedral of St. Joseph?
I like the idea of performing this work in the Cathedral of St. Joseph. It's not an overtly religious work, but it definitely has the suggestion of religion and God. and this divine guidance and power behind life. The acoustics of the church are spectacular. It's going to be a great setting for the sound. I think I think that the work will sound good and we'll all feel comfortable performing there. The only possible drawback of the cathedral is it seats just over 600, so we would encourage people to order their tickets online if they can or call the symphony office, but please do come. This is going to be a monumental event, and it's one of those that comes around only every few years, so come out and hear the music. I think you'll enjoy it.
Now, this is the last concert of the season. Have you made plans for next season yet?
Yes, next season is all planned, and we'll have brochures, and season tickets will be available Saturday night, or actually not the tickets, but you can buy the subscription Saturday night at 7:30 in the concert, either before or after. Next season is going to be a great season. We've got some wonderful things planned.
When will it start?
October 2nd will be our first concert, and we're going to be featuring the concertmaster of the New York City Ballet Orchestra, Arturo Belmoni, in the Brahms Violin Concerto.
What other selections have you chosen for next season?
Well, we will, in the course of the season, we'll perform Scheherazade by Rimsky-Korsakov, and the symphonic dances from West Side Story by Leonard Bernstein. We will also have our final concert of next year will be in May of 2012, and we will commemorate the Civil War with music of Morton Gould and William Grant Still, and a wonderful mass by Carl Jenkins entitled L'Homme Armé, or The Armed Man, and we'll have two wonderful soloists, Tim and Reggie Harris, joining us for that performance also.
The St. Joseph Symphony's final performance for this season will be this Saturday at 7:30 at the Cathedral at 519 North 10th Street in St. Joseph. Tickets are available at the Symphony office at 816-233-7701, online at stjosephsymphony.org, and at the door. The legendary Scottish village of Brigadoon will appear in Maryville on Sunday. Music director of the Nottoway Chorale, Michael Phillips, says the chorale will be performing selections from the musical for its last concert of this season.
It's actually the first truly successful musical of Lerner and Lowe. Hit Broadway in 1947. We can't stage the whole thing for obvious reasons. So we'll have a guide that goes along with it, and we'll do the bulk of the music of the musical to tell the story.
Can you tell me a little bit about what the story is?
Yeah, it's about one of these mythical villages. This one happens to be in Scotland, that appears for one day and one day only. It sounds like a musical, doesn't it? Appearing one day and one day only, every 100 years. On this particular occasion, two young Americans are lost. They had gone on a hunting trip, and they hear music coming from somewhere in the forest, and they discover Brigadoon. On this particular day, there is a fair, there's a wedding. Also, a love story develops between one of the American fellows and one of the characters that is from Brigadoon by the name of Fiona. And over the course of this day, they fall in love. We meet several other key figures. The young Meg has never met a fellow she didn't like. And then not too soon after that, we meet Charlie Dalrymple, who is engaged to be married on this particular day to the sister of Fiona, who is our love interest with the other American boy. But the key relationship is between Fiona and the Tommy, and they fall madly in love. The problem with that is that Tommy is engaged back in New York. Plus, there are rules about this village coming into view for one day, and that is no one can leave. The village was given this boon several hundred years ago to protect it, and it was considered to be a miracle. But one of the rules was if anyone that lives in Brigadoon leaves, the spell is broken and the village never is seen again. So we don't play to that too much because it's a little complicated with the musical. One young man does try to leave and winds up getting killed. He falls and dies. So then a funeral becomes added, and we won't be doing that funeral. But he goes away, Tommy. In the end, he doesn't trust his feelings, and he and Fiona part. One of the songs that they sing together is It's Almost Like Being in Love, which is probably the most familiar piece from Brigadoon. But he has second thoughts, and he ultimately says goodbye and goes back to New York, and he just can't stand it. And at the very end of the musical, he returns looking for Brigadoon. Of course, he can't find it. But his love is so powerful for Fiona that the city elder appears and tells Tommy, said, you know, your love for Fiona was so strong, you've woke me up, and I've come to take you back. And that's how the musical ends.
Will there be soloists?
Yes, there will be. We're bringing in a wonderful singer from Charleston, South Carolina, to play Fiona. And so we have three students from the university here are going to shoulder the other three principal roles. That's Tommy, and he's going to be played by Cody Bradley from the university. The Charlie Dalrymple character who gets married is going to be played by one of your colleagues, Dan Rasmussen. And then the other female involved in this two-pair operation who plays Meg Brockie is going to be Michaela Zilke.
Is this unusual for the Nottoway Chorale to invite musicians in to perform with them?
We occasionally do. We have brought not for every show, but pretty much we'll have a guest artist come in, and there are reasons for that. We get who we can get for the most part, but we do bring in artists of skill that can not only enhance our production, maybe be a bit of a draw, but as much as an educational tool to get some professional quality singing and acting involved with the group so that our people can kind of feed off of that. We try not to rely too much on the students from the university because their schedules are generally so hectic. In this particular case, because this is finals week, their schedules lighten up significantly enough that we can kind of get around the pitfalls. It should be noted that because we're not doing the entire show for just logistical reasons, there's a lot of dance involved that we just don't do. We just don't have the wherewithal to make that happen. And we're doing all of the music, and then it's reprised later on in the show, and with some interesting visuals that we can't produce. So in order to flesh out our concert, we're also, the chorale is doing a group of Scottish and British folk songs by the various principals, and the men of the group are going to sing an old Scottish fight song in order to give an overall Scottish flavor to things and to give the concert an appropriate length. So it'll be an all-Scottish program with the music of Brigadoon being the centerpiece.
Is this the last performance of the chorale for this season?
It is. Yes, it is. We go into hiatus at the end of May, and we will start up again in August.
Do you know what you'll be performing in August?
We will start working on an Argentinian folk mass for the fall concert called Misa Criolla. It'll be done all in Spanish with native instruments.
That was Nottoway Chorale music director Michael Phillips. He says the chorale's performance of Brigadoon will be Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at the First Christian Church at 3rd and Buchanan Streets in Maryville. Tickets are available at the Book Stop in downtown Maryville, from any chorale member, and at the door. The Brownville Concert Series opens this weekend with a familiar face. Spokeswoman for the series, Jan Chisholm Wright, says the season opener will feature a vocalist who has performed at the concert hall in the past.
Well, we have a return visit by Annie Selleck. She's a jazz singer. She starts up the 29th in Cabaret at 7:30 and also on Saturday the 30th. And then there's a concert on Sunday at 2 o'clock. She is really hot. She's a little bit of Anita O'Day, a little bit of Ruth Brown, jazz style, a little Bette Midler, a little Janis Joplin. You know, she's really quite a peppy mix. She's just a hot performer.
It sounds like it'll be more than jazz. It sounds like maybe there will be some blues and some rock mixed in with that jazz then.
Well, she changes things up a little bit. But she's just really a great performer.
Now, why did Brownville invite her back?
Oh, because we love her. She's just great. And she's out of Nashville originally, was really hot in the jazz scene in Nashville, and she's been up in New York now, making a really big name for herself up there, and we are really excited to have her back. And she's really fun. I mean, just a lot of energy and a great song voice and wonderful tunes and just a lot of fun. The amazing thing is that the Brownville Concert Series, we're like in the pipeline for New York singers. I mean, they'll sing in New York at Feinstein's or the Oak Room at the Algonquin Hotel, or, you know, or they'll be on Broadway or, you know, and then they'll be in Brownville, and then they'll go on from here to, like, the Cinegrill in L.A. or Chicago or, you know, other places. So we're definitely on the New York singing circuit. It's just amazing.
How did Brownville get to that point?
Well, we just kept inviting people down, and they love it here. They think we have great audiences. It's a real getaway for them. It's a beautiful area right there on the river in Brownville. And so word gets out, and people are actually calling us, you know, wanting to perform there, which is really great. I mean, we've got quite a reputation, amazingly. It seems like we're better known in New York than we are in Nebraska, you know, in our own little area here.
Now, there are two styles of performance, and she'll be performing both, the cabaret and the concert venue. What's the difference between those two?
Well, the cabaret is like going to a nightclub. It's got the white tablecloths and the little candles, and you can order drinks, and it's just like going to a nightclub, although it's been smoke-free since the beginning, which is just wonderful for those of us who, you know, have respiratory problems. But it's just like going to a nightclub, and it's just so close and intimate, and you're like part of the act. There's a lot of back and forth between the entertainer and the audience, and I mean, you're right there in the middle of everything. It's just wonderful.
Why do you offer both types of performances?
Well, on the Sundays at the matinees, at 2 o'clock. It's just not, you know, probably it just, you can't do candlelight. You're not going to be serving a lot of drink, mixed drinks or wine or anything. So we do the Sundays, we do the concerts, just because it's more amenable to that venue. But on a Friday or a Saturday night, the cabarets, they're the hottest date for 100 miles around.
And they're all in the same location, all three performances?
Oh, absolutely, at the Brownville Concert Hall in Brownville. We're so small, if you can't find us, you're not looking.
That was Brownville Concert Series spokeswoman Jan Wright. She says Annie Selleck will be performing Friday and Saturday evenings, beginning at 7:30. Sunday's matinee begins at 2 o'clock. Tickets are available online at brownvilleconcertseries.com, or you can call 402-825-3331. Tickets will also be available at the door. You can find information and links to the events and organizations you hear about on Now Showing on the KXCV KRNW website, kxcv.org. You can also listen to archived editions of the program by clicking on the Now Showing link on our homepage. Now Showing will be going on hiatus over the summer months. Next week at this time, we hope you'll join us for The Treatment with Elvis Mitchell. In Hollywood, a treatment is a concise overview of a screenplay. On The Treatment, film critic Elvis Mitchell turns the tables and gives the treatment to some of the most influential and innovative forces creating movies and popular art and entertainment. Each week, Elvis and his guests discuss everything from their inner conflicts to their interior design. Elvis gets insights, issues, and inspirations from even the most introverted guests. Conversations on The Treatment are mostly comfortable, sometimes contentious, but always fascinating. The Treatment will air Thursdays at noon beginning next week through August. Now Showing will return in September. So please join us next Thursday for The Treatment with Elvis Mitchell. In the meantime, have a great weekend. For KXCV KRNW, I'm Patty Hawley.